Now, if you please just sit back, take a couple of big, deep breaths. We come together in this great consciousness of love and peace and unity, recognizing that we are here today clarifying that mirror of spirit, recognizing who we are by knowing that the universe reflects back to us every thought and every feeling of who we are. We allow this moment and this time to bring to us whatever reality needs to be brought. Our eyes are opened, our ears are opened, our hearts are opened to the word. And knowing that the word is always God and the word is always truth. Grateful for this opportunity to come together. We also expand and include all houses of worship, all faiths, all churches, mosques, temples, every possibility of faith, and extend our hand in friendship, our heart in unity, recognizing that we are all one. In gratitude, we release this, we let it be, and together we say, and so it is. So the theme for the month is the clarifying mirror of spirit. Did you see the front of your program? Is that just the cutest darn thing you've ever seen in your life? So the clarifying mirror of spirit. So it's spring, or spring is coming, and certainly spring is a time of renewal and rejuvenation and rejoicing in the newness of our own being. But right actually in alignment with our theme are words that were written by Neville, the author of our next class book, The Power of Awareness. And here's what he said. Leave the mirror and change your face. Leave the world alone and change your conceptions of yourself. This morning, I would like us, you and I, to meet, embrace, and respect and reveal that one that has become each of us. Today, as we explore the evolutionary current of existence, it actually sparks a question. And the question is this: what is our most vital function? What is our most vital function? Contrary to the way many people feel these days, we are not strangers or out of place in this universe. We're not an accidental development of evolution in this planet or on this planet Earth. We're not isolated or living some kind of futile existence. There's enough evidence that there is an intelligence and certainly a purposefulness in the universe that exists in everything that is. If it exists in everything that is, then it also exists in each one of us. But what we are and what we perceive are simply the effects of that which we cannot see. In other words, back of the physical universe, there has to be a cause. The cause is always more real than the effect, and the spiritual universe is the real universe. It's the same thing as saying thoughts are things, in a sense. But which is more real? It could seem like the physical and material world is real, and that thoughts were perhaps something else. But suppose I put a thought right up in front of you, and it would slowly begin to take form. Or perhaps we decided to put a skin around this thought until you could see it as some kind of a material thing. Would it be more real than it was before it became visible or before it had a skin on it and took form? Does the skin make it real? And before it wasn't real? No, the thought is real, whether it is in form, so you can see it or touch it or not. So your thoughts are real. When we say thoughts are things, it's because they are things. The same as reality and truth and spirit is always forever taking form and then withdrawing from that form. The form falls away and always changes. We know that nothing in this physical world is permanent, including us. At some point, we shed this physical being or this human suit that we're wearing, and we move on. If you look at the trees lose their leaves, and then something else happens and takes form. So sooner or later, it's going to take some sort of change in any form. But what never changes is the reality that is within it. It may withdraw and become form in some other way again, but that which is real never changes. All things are also form of that one intelligent cause or life, sometimes we call that God, that's the creative factor back of everything that exists. Now we know that all things are made up of atoms, that atoms are nothing more but positive and negative charges of electricity. They're actually just pure energy. We haven't seen an atom, but that which we do see emerges from that which we do not see. So when you're looking at your process of manifesting or choosing to demonstrate something, and you don't see it yet in form, the point is to understand that it's just as real. The reality of it is just as real. It just has not come into form yet. Everything that is created by this nothing but pure energy, so that the biggest thing then in the universe is made up, we could say, of a lot of little things. But the only real difference is the way that the atoms come together or the way they are arranged differently in their particular activity. But as far as God and as far as the universe is concerned, there's no such thing as big or little. It only is. Now, anytime we add something to God, and we say that God is, but anytime we add something to that, we've actually taken something away. So we could say that God is many, many things. God is peace, but so much more than that. God is love, but God is many, many things. But all we can really say is that God is, that life is. And in that, there's no big and there's no little. And the only difference between a single atom and perhaps the greatest star in the heavens is the concept of the one who perceives it, the person looking at it. And that would be you. The way you perceive your life to be and the way you are looking at your life. You and I have made things big and little. The universe did not do that. Everything is the same, whether it's a single atom or a whole bunch of them, or it's a house or a horse or a mouse. It doesn't matter. So now we say that the universe is in perfect balance. If the universe is in perfect balance, then we also are in perfect balance. In and as us is a perfect balance. And operative within us is that same balance. And here's what Dr. Holmes said. You cannot say that there's more life in an elephant than there is in a flea. We're not talking about a quantity anymore. We're talking simply about an isness. An isness. Now, the universe reveals as much of itself as we can come to see, to accept, to believe, and in essence, to become aware of. What you are not aware of does not exist in your world. Until you become aware of something, it doesn't exist. But as soon as there's a dawning of awareness, it now exists in your world or in your personal life. When we fully understand this, it's one of the greatest revelations that could come to the mind of any person. When we understand that we are, by our perceptions, putting big and little and great and small on things, that the universe does not do that. And then according to the however we decide it looks like, then it becomes that. When we know that life is one and everything is built from the same building blocks, that there is no big or little or great or small or easy or difficult, and that the universe doesn't know the difference between $1 million and a penny. Now, we already know that. And since that we have created those kinds of limitations, there really isn't anything holding them there. And we can change that. Dr. Holmes said, what we believe is not a spiritual grab bag. And it's nice to know, isn't it, that if you have a pain, you can get rid of it? It's nice to know that if you're lacking money, you can get more. It's nice to know that if you're confused, you can reach out and get guidance. It's nice to know all of these things. And how much better to get behind that and become one with the source of everything that is, to merge mind and spirit until there actually is no difference. Because there really is no difference except in your mind. When we merge to become one with life or God or all the universe itself, we have then automatically included all the things that we have perhaps struggled over the years to attain, whether that's material wealth and gain, whether that's success or fame or fortune, maybe it's happiness, maybe it's love, maybe it's simply expression. But that's exactly why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. And where did he say the kingdom was? That the kingdom was within us. And what does that kingdom actually have to be? That's the kingdom of awareness, of this truth about ourselves and the entire universe. Here's the important moment in this. Learn to trust the universe. Learn to trust the universe. It is your faithful servant. It is the mirror. It is your mirror. There is no need to manipulate, to force, to coerce when you trust the universe. The way to trust the universe is to know that you are one with it, that it has your back, it is your mirror. So therefore, there's nothing to ask or ask for. You simply have to look. And the wonderful part about that is that we don't adjust the mirror, we adjust that which is within us. Now, wouldn't it be nice to come to the point where we don't really have to pray for individual things anymore? That we really don't have to treat for this thing or that thing to happen? When we merge with this entire life that is, then we have merged with that in which everything resides. Then it becomes part of life automatically. And when you know that, it, whatever it is for you, it appears. And that's really all we do in spiritual mind treatment. We change our own mind, and then we know the truth about something specific. So let's look at this again. The universe is our faithful servant. We're told that. We're told that there's a law of good that governs this universe. We're told that there's nothing really to do. There's only something to know. And that knowness is the isness that we find in God. That you are at one with the Creator Source, God. Call it whatever you want to call it. That you are at one with the greatest power there is in the universe. And that power is a part of you because it is within you. But where do you look when you have a need? Where do you look when you have a desire? Within, so that the mirror will naturally reflect as part of the universe, or without first? In my experience, most of the time, it's without first. How many of you suffer from the Iwanas? You know what the Iwanas are, right? I wanted this, I wanted that, I wanted this, I wanted that, I wanted more of this, I wanted more of that. The question is, who are you asking? Who are you asking? People, places, and things? If the universe is your faithful servant, and it is also that amazing mirror, then there's only one place for you to look. And that's to look within, and to give yourself what it is you're desiring and what it is you're asking for another to give to you. And then you completely change that clarifying mirror. Bucky Fuller said that whatever life is, it doesn't weigh anything. It cannot be touched or boxed or measured upon a scale. Life is certainly not our physical body, because we can lose 40 pounds of our body and we'll still be ourselves. He believed life to be an awareness that involved much more than comprehending. Here's what I believe. I believe that part of our destiny is to live out of the awareness and experience the goodness and the greatness and the happiness and the flow of life, not little bits of it here and there. But due to our perceptions and our beliefs, we appear to only allow ourselves to get little bits of it now and again, rather than this whole flow of life that continues flowing. Now, if we did that, wouldn't that be living out the promise of this abundant life? Wouldn't that be actually living that promise out? And here's the other part of that. Wouldn't that really be putting your whole self on the line? Your whole self on the line. And who cares what they think? Who cares what they think? It's your whole life, so that has to be on the line. If I'm whole, complete, and perfect, what do I need? If you're whole and complete and perfect, what do you need? You need nothing. Except for the perception that tells you you need something. Except for looking at some perspective through some eyes different than just the isness. And most importantly, the lack of trust. The lack of trust that in your awareness alone and your relationship with the universe has enough power to organize your life, to bring your demonstrations to you perfectly, to take care of every single manifestation on time, in time, and every time. Not in bits and pieces, but in the wholeness, the completeness, and the perfection that you are. I think what happens is that we just think too small. I think we dream too small, and I think we think too small. I think we analyze it to try to figure out how it's all going to happen, and it squashes the dream. I think we're so used to shrinking things that we have such a fear of lack and limitation that we go out wanting so much because we don't look at the resources that are within us for self-fulfillment. That's where the abundant life starts. We have to free ourselves of the concepts of large and small and easy and difficult. And you know why? Because if we don't, they become positions. And then after they become our position, they become a law of our life. This is easy. This is too difficult. This is big. This isn't big enough. This is too small. And what are you really talking about but your own self-conceptions? The thing you believe the most becomes the law of your life. If you don't trust the universe and you don't believe in the universe and you're putting your trust in people, places, and things, then so be it. Then you're not going to have a very smooth ride because you're going to be dependent on something outside of yourself and outside of principle. But you see, principle will always sustain you. You just have to trust and believe that. You know, part of developing and cultivating our faith is actually using it. In the face of perhaps not exactly what you want in this moment. But to know that you have faith that will sustain and maintain you and the faith of a consciousness that will attract to you life that is forever flowing. I think if we started to act like we know and understand that there is one God and one life, over all, in through, in all, through all, and that that's all we are and that's everything that we are. But we don't. So what happens is our ignorance of this creates a limitation of the infinite good through you as a channel. Because there's a belief in limitation, or there's ignorance to the creation of infinite goodness, because you don't believe fully and completely in that truth, you block it. You block it. If you stay open as a channel, the only possibility is that good just continues to flow. It's only when you shut down and you begin to believe in these restrictions and limitations that it starts to stop. So our ignorance of this creates the limitation of the flow of infinite good through you as a channel. And then what happens is we stagnate. And then we decide, oh, it's just better to sleepwalk. You know, don't wake me up completely. I'd rather just kind of walk around a little sleepy. But when we wake up and we have to be aware, oh, look out. All kinds of things are going to happen. What might they say? Oh my God, you're awake. You're aware. What might they think? If you actually came out of the sleep and allowed yourself to be that channel and express what's in there. We block the flow. It's all there available to us within us. But the individual power that is within each one of us is also ours to draw upon whenever we choose to. It's a matter of when we're choosing to. It doesn't die. It just simply lays dormant until we come to life, or rather, until we come alive. You know, I started out by talking about atoms and energy. That's what you are. You are energy. If you shut that energy down, what do you suppose will happen in the mirror? The energy will shut down. If you're thinking negative, restrictive, lack thoughts, that's all that the universe can deliver to you. You see, it's impossible for the energy that created you to die. It's only that you allow it to be dormant. Life is ready and open to share its resources. It awaits your embrace. It awaits your awareness. It offers all kinds of limitless choices. It approves even our decisions. It even guides us toward becoming fully active and fully alive. The eternal is not static. It doesn't just sit there and do nothing. It's always in motion, it's always vibrating, it's always doing, and it's always expressing. It's not limited to what we see, what we do, and what we experience. It's not even limited to what moves through us. But it will not be restricted by man. God will express one way or another. And if it's not through you, then what you have done as you have forfeited the value of your own fulfillment. If you do not allow that expression, it will find its expression. And what you forfeit is your own self-fulfillment. It will always find a willing vehicle. It will always find an open, willing, and aware mind and channel in which to express. The flowers are going to bloom anyway. The sun is still going to rise, even if you don't see it. Even if you don't embrace it in your awareness, that is still going to continue. Do you get the point? That the universe, even though you may be sleeping, is alive and well and awake and vibrating and energizing and popping everything it can into open and receptive channels and vehicles. If you're sleeping, or what we call unconscious, not fully aware, then it will whip somewhere else where it has a pure, clear channel to go into. This goes for your ideas. This goes for the brilliance and the genius that you are. You forfeit it. The spirit of each person and thing is present. Even if we deny it or we're too asleep to experience it, it's still there. God is saying, I will express, whether it's through you or not. I will express because that's my nature to express. You can go ahead and close down and shut me off and pretend there's some other reason. But if you don't take a stand and say that you are aware of your life, of what's going on in your life and what's going on around you, then it will move on because it only sees and feels restriction. God doesn't restrict life. We restrict life. If you will open yourself up, this means putting your whole self on the line. This means doing something that you've never done before, perhaps. This means instead of hiding your light under a bushel, that you actually bring it forth and allow the universe to see that you are available for its ideas. How many of you want demonstrations? How many of you want manifestations? How many of you want more stuff? All of us, right? Well, how do you suppose that's all going to come to you? You think you could actually figure that out? You're going to go to each individual person and coerce and manipulate and force and resist and all that so that you can get what you want? Or are you going to stand back and look at the whole picture of this whole big universe that is your faithful servant, like a menu, asking you to choose whatever it is you desire and you want? All it says is stay open, stay aware, stay awake, stay alive. Don't shut down. Don't stagnate. Don't let this power become dormant. It's saying, I need an alive channel. Yeah? An alive channel. And then what happens is your weariness goes by the wayside. You're not bored anymore. You're suddenly alive, awake, and alert. Because this mighty power has been trying to get through you, but you just are not awake to it. That is the power of awareness. Think of this. If there was anything in your life that you have, to have anything else, it's awareness. Because if you're not aware of what is, it isn't. There's a million things in this world going on right now that you are not aware of, that you don't even have an idea about. But as soon as you hear it and somebody shares it with you, it's like, oh my God! They did go to the moon. So think about all the things that you were unaware of, maybe even before you came into this teaching. Maybe you were unaware of a power within you that's greater than you are. Maybe you were unaware of the fact that your body can heal itself. Maybe you were unaware of the fact that you are rich and wealthy and that you have inherited the kingdom. You just forgot to accept it. Or you just decided it had to come from some place. But don't we say every Sunday, God is the source and the substance of my supply? We say that every single Sunday as we're tithing generously, knowing that it comes back to us multiplied abundantly. We don't say, I hope it comes back in dribbles and small increments, please. Do we? But look, if you're asking for abundance, you've got to stretch your consciousness. If you want abundance, you can't have a consciousness the size of a pea. It has to expand. By expansion, what does that mean? That doesn't mean, oh, I think I could hold more. It means you have to bust out of yourself in every area. You want more? Become more. That's the answer. You want more, then you must become more. And you know what I've learned? When you want more, you have to give more. You actually have to give more. You have to give more, maybe right across the board. I don't know. But you have to give more. So that's what an abundant life means, and that's what we were offered, and that is the promise. There's no difference between you or one atom of your being, or the greatest star, or the highest mountain, or whatever it might be. You are all that and more. There's no essential difference. It's all the same. We all belong to the universe. But let's remember to start trusting this universe. Otherwise, we're going to act like we're some cosmic accident. You know? Like there has been no limitation imposed upon anyone. Start being at home in the universe. Allow yourself to merge with it. It's filled with goodness, and it's just waiting to express through you and to give you more and more goodness. There's no place where you can stand still anywhere. Life is movement, and it's movement through you, and it's movement through me, and through everything and everyone. Again, it means putting the whole life on the line, the whole life behind your vision, your commitment, your goals. You put it all on the line, so to speak. Our final word this morning is from a piece written by Ernest Holmes from the textbooks, page 517. You might want to reread it when you get home. And here's what he said. I keep the promise that I have made to myself. I shall never again tell myself that I'm poor, that I'm sick, that I'm weak, nor unhappy. I shall not lie to myself anymore, but shall daily speak the truth to my inner soul, telling it that it is wonderful and marvelous, that it is one with the great cause of all life, all truth, all power, and all action. I shall whisper these things into my soul until it breaks forth into songs of joy with the realization of its limitless possibilities. And this, my friends, is your most vital function. All your good is waiting to express through you. Thank you, and God bless. Thank you. Sit back, please. Take a couple of deep breaths. Somebody left me an avocado. Let's know right here and right now in this moment, there's only one power. And that's the power of God in this universe, working in and through us right this moment. Through a prayer, through music, through a glance, through a look, through one another. Let's remember to keep our hearts and our minds open. Let's live in the power of awareness, knowing who we are, and recognizing that we identify with the power of the infinite, and that that power is always working through us to the degree that we will accept it, believe it, and allow it. So in this moment, like no other moment, we know individually and collectively that the universe is our faithful servant and that we count on it and we trust it, knowing that the power in that universe is our power. It has strength, it has courage, and it brings you everything necessary for the fulfillment of your desires. For as the rain cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so it is.